Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And I'm going to also read some scripture from the Old Testament. And this morning, we've come to a portion of scripture. I've entitled the message, The Kingdom Commodities. And again, we've come to a portion of scripture here that deals with where our heart is, where our possessions lie, where our true possessions lie, and we've seen that God has given us a priority. When we saw our message last Sunday night, God has given us priorities, and we live in a world. I don't want to say a day, because I believe the day has always been when the desire for money, the desire for riches has always been, I believe, since the fall of man, it's always been a great desire of people. People have gone to great expenses to accumulate wealth and accumulate riches. And when we think about how rich some people are today, it's amazing how much money some people have. And some of the richest people in the world today, it would just, again, I think it's mind-boggling. How much do you need? How much is enough? When would you ever say, you know, I've finally come to the place where I feel like I don't have to make any more money? Yeah, it's interesting when we think about this love of money. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. According to the Bible, money isn't what our first and foremost desire should not be for money. We should be looking for wisdom and understanding in life. This is the principal thing, according to Proverbs chapter 4. If you're going to get anything, get wise, get wisdom. And here's the thing. I believe when we do seek that godly wisdom and godly understanding, I believe we will make money. It will come along part and parcel with the wisdom. And God will give us that. When we think about working, and when we think about our need to work, our desire to work, I'm glad that God made us so that we are creatures that we want to work. Naturally, I think, at least we all want to work. Amen. I think, man, there's a few people out there maybe that don't want to. They kind of like the welfare system or whatever it may be. But we all need to work. I remember years ago, Pastor Friesen, my pastor, was preaching a message. The boys, the kids were young. They were fairly young. Pastor Friesen was preaching a message on working. And the Bible says that if a man does not work, neither should he what? Eat. And when we were driving home from that service, the kids were pretty quiet. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Matthew. But finally he pipes up and says, Dad, according to that message tonight, pastors shouldn't eat. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, pastors don't work. They just sit in an office all day. Well, you know, there is office work, amen? And believe me, I know Pastor Freed. He does a lot of footwork as well. He's out constantly out and about visiting and visiting people and door knocking and all of those other things. But, you know, if you have an office job, don't worry, you're still working, amen? But God's given us the desire to work. But when we think about work and we think about the desire to gain, most of us work. And I've said this for years, that we should work for a living. But we shouldn't live for work. We should not live for work. We should not live so that when we think about work, it consumes us. And it becomes our number one priority or our number one desire so that we may make money and fill our coffers and become rich. You know, we all need to work. A guy stopped at a local gas station, and after filling his tank, he paid the bill and he bought a soft drink, and he stood by his car drinking his cola and watched a couple of men working along the roadside. One man would dig a hole, two or three feet deep and then move on. The other man came along behind him and he filled in the holes. While one was digging a new hole, the other one came along right behind him, filled in the other hole. The men worked right past the guy with the soft drink as they went down the road, and he finally said, the guy drinking the soft drink, he says, I can't stand it anymore. He tossed the can into the trash bin, headed down the road towards the men, and he said, hold it, hang on here, guys. Can you tell me what's going on? You're digging and refilling. Nothing's getting accomplished. Well, we work for the government. That says it all, just about. And we were digging, we're just doing our job. One of the men said, but one of you is digging a hole and the other one is filling it up, and you're not accomplishing anything. Aren't you wasting taxpayers' money? You don't understand, mister. One of the men said, leaning on his shovel and wiping his brow, normally there's three of us, me, Elmer, and Leroy. I dig the hole, Elmer sticks in the tree, and Leroy here puts the dirt back. And now just because Elmer's sick, that doesn't mean Leroy and me can't work. Amen. Amen. Let's just end the message with that. Labor and our desire to gain, to have things, it's an interesting thing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles towards heaven. You know, we try to get that wealth and we try to put it in a cage, you know, keep it safe, but eventually it's going to fly away. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 21. Let's look at our text this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we thank you that you've given us a priority here, that we are to desire and to seek for the treasures and riches of heaven. And God, I pray as we look at this message today that our hearts would be stirred and challenged, that you would be honored and glorified. And again, Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done and all that you've provided for us. We ask your blessing in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. Number one, I want to look at this. Bent belongings. Bent belongings. And verse 19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. There's many people over the years who have taken this as that, you know, Christians should take a vow of poverty. This is essentially a vow of poverty. I don't believe that Christians were commanded anywhere in the Bible to live in poverty. I know some people that think pastors should live in poverty, and I know some of the poorest preachers in the world, and you might think, well, pastor, you're sending that. We're not to live in poverty. Don't get me wrong there. We're not commanded to live in poverty. The Bible says, though, that we are not to desire riches more than we should desire the things of God. That's the idea here. The belongings that we have, when we think about bent belongings, everything that we own, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever you own is going to break down. It's going to decay. It's going to rust. It may be stolen. But one thing is for sure. You know, we were driving in our car this morning, and I love my little Ford Focus. You know, I paid like $14,000 for it, brand new. And we've got about 300,000 kilometers on it, and I've only had to fix it a couple of times, very, very minor things. I had to do a wheel bearing and a couple of little links that cost about $40 each and took about 20 minutes to put on. And I'm glad. That thing is going. It's like a Timex, or well, no, is it a Timex watch? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. It just keeps going. And I said, man, this thing is going to go forever. But you know what? It's not going to go forever. Eventually, it's going to end up where all the other cars end up, in somebody's backyard. No, in the wreckers. We have possessions. And, you know, I have some of my parents' possessions. You maybe have some of your parents' possessions. Some of my grandparents' possessions. One thing for sure. Some of the things that you possess may outlive you. But when you die, when we die, when we shuffle off of this mortal soil and our days here are done, those possessions will be gone. We will lose them. They're no longer going to be ours. So the moral here is that everything we own, whether the rust destroys it, or whether the moths chew through it, or whether somebody steals it or takes it from you, everything you have on this earth, you will lose. It's going to be gone someday. You will not possess it forever. One way or the other, it's going to be lost. And the Bible says there that that we are not to lay up these treasures here on earth. We are not to desire them more than we are to desire the things of God. Someone once observed that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. We should live according to the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are to number not our years, not our weeks, not our months, but our days. We need to, every single day, we need to account every day as a day that can be used for the honor and glory of God. And we don't waste our lives, we simply waste our days. As God has given us life, each one of us starts a new year with the same number of days or opportunities to do something for God. We all have 365 of these opportunities. And we can take every one of these opportunities and we can use them to either invest in things of this world, or we can use those days to advance the kingdom of God and invest in heaven. The difference between the two isn't so much about our talents or our abilities to gain money or serve the Lord, but simply our desires. It's all about desires and about our effort and our diligence. We can become rich towards God without necessarily being the most talented person in the world. You know, it may take talent or ability to make money, but we can all serve God. We can all lay up treasure in heaven. We can all be rich towards God. And the wisdom of man today, the wisdom of man in this day and age is certainly evident. And I don't see too many of these bumper stickers around. They were popular a few years ago. The man that dies with the most what? Toys wins. You know, it's a game to get the most toys, to have the most things. And when you die with the most toys, you win. The philosophy of God is that the man that dies with Jesus Christ wins. Amen? If you die without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And the Bible says that we came into this world with nothing. We didn't even have teeth. And the Bible says that when we leave this world, we will leave this world with the same amount of things that we brought into it. Nothing. We're going to bring absolutely nothing with us. We will lose everything. When Bill Gates dies, and I believe he's still the richest person in the world today. When he dies, he will lose everything. Everything, every penny, every car, every mansion he owns. every stock and every bond will be gone. And in that day, and at that moment, what good will any of those possessions and all of that money do him? What good will it do him? None. Absolutely none. We're to labor that we may have possessions that are going to last forever. How many people today in our common society are more concerned about their retirement fund than they are about their eternal dividends? You know, we have life insurance companies. We have life insurance salesmen. We have people that will come and tell you, you know, I remember years ago, London Life slogan, their motto thing was, you know, Freedom 55. You know, you come and invest with us, and we will guarantee you, you can be free, financially free. At 55 years old, you can retire, enjoy life. You know, we've got all this. There's no shortages out there of people that will help you to invest, and people that will help you to make sure that you have life insurance and make sure that you're taken care of and that your family is taken care of when you die. But it's amazing that how few of us are worried about making sure that we are building up afterlife insurance and making sure that we have something prepared for us in eternity. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with investing. There's nothing wrong with being wise with your money. There's nothing wrong with possessions. But our desire should be a desire to serve God first and foremost. Somebody said this, a poem says, out of the life I shall never take, things of silver and gold I make. All that I cherish and hoard away, when I leave these things on earth, must stay. Though I toiled for a painting rare, to hang on my wall, I must leave it there. Though I call it mine and boast its worth, I must give it up when I quit this earth. All that I gather, and all that I keep, I must leave behind when I fall asleep. And I wonder often, what will I own in that other life when I pass along? What shall he find and what shall he see in the soul that answers the call for me? Will the great judge find, when my task is through, that my soul has gathered me some riches too? Or that last it will be mine to find that all I had worked for was left behind. Number two, I want to look at this, incorruptible consignments. And the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The Bible talks about treasures, where our treasures are, and what kind of treasures that we are to lay up. And according to Jesus Christ, there is a treasure, there's a wealth, there are riches that we can have that will never fade away, that aren't going to rust away. They're not going to be eaten by moths. They're not going to be stolen by thieves. They're not going to be lost if the stock market crashes. Or should I say crashes any more than it has this week? Or this past week, a woman met a friend of her father's who she had not seen for many years. The woman's father was a devout Christian, so she found great joy in telling his old acquaintance about her dad's trust in the Lord and the way he faced sufferings and trials and even the prospect of death. The friend, however, had lived a different kind of life, having given himself over completely to earning money and hoarding every cent that he could. He had become very wealthy, but he didn't have the same glad anticipation of the future that his friend did. He explained it to the daughter in this way. He said, your father can be more optimistic about heaven than I for a very simple reason. He is going to his treasure. and I am leaving mine behind. Jesus confirms to his disciples that we have two basic choices. Those two basic choices are between laying up treasure on this earth and laying up treasures in heaven. It is human nature to want to lay up treasures. We all desire that. So Jesus tells his disciples that, yes, if we are going to do that, we should make sure that we are laying up those treasures in heaven. And there are three reasons why Jesus Christ says we are to do that. First of all, laying up treasures on earth is daft. Now, who knows what daft means? Okay, my mom used that word an awful lot. It's dumb. Daft is dumb. It's just not really intelligent. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. I use that word because it's the only one I could think of that starts with a D, because all of my points start with a D. So the first point is it's daft. Why is it daft? Why is it maybe not this smart? Because you can't keep it. You know what you're doing? You're working and working and working and working and laying up and laying up and laying up and building barns and filling them and building bigger barns and filling them. You're doing it for someone else. The wise man in Ecclesiastes makes that very clear. He says, you're going to make a fortune, you're going to build this big empire, you're going to die, and you're going to leave it to whosoever, whoever it may be, and they're going to enjoy it. You're not even going to be able to enjoy it. We can't take it with us. We are going to lose it. You know, one thing that's guaranteed about earthly investments is that we're going to lose them. Whatever it is, we are going to lose them. So point number one, the first thing he says there is we can't keep them. Secondly, the second reason I think why we should be conscientious about building treasures on this earth is because it can be dangerous. It's daft and it's also dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because money, treasures, possessions, the things of this world can destroy spiritual awareness. When we think about the wealth and accumulating treasures, if our eyes are filled with the light and working prosperity, your body will not be able to see the spiritual things. Our eyes can only be filled with so much light. And if all our eyes are seeing is the riches of this world, then we can't see the riches of God. And our riches can literally become a wall. Our possessions that will blind us from seeing the spiritual truths, from seeing the spiritual realities, from seeing the value of spiritual things as well. And then thirdly, laying up treasures can be disastrous. They can be disastrous because no one can serve two masters. We can't. The Bible makes it very clear that is absolutely impossible. Even double agents, we think about spies and double agents. Double agents, those that are working for both sides. Even double agents, they still have one particular country or organization that they will certainly desire a little more. They will have a little more of a loyalty towards. And in the same way, we can't serve God in possessions. We can't be double agents. We will, according to the Bible, love one and we will hate the other. We have to pass a verdict in our lives. We have to make a decision. about what is going to come first, what we are going to desire first in our lives. You know, I've seen another bumper sticker. I guess I like reading bumper stickers. I've never put one on my car, and I have no plans to ever put a bumper sticker on my car. But I guess I've read a few in my life. Another one is, I owe, it's off to work I go. People are in debt. People are buying things without having money to buy them. And again, I don't know how you can get around buying a house. If you tried to save up to buy your house without a mortgage, you'd be saving up until you're about 90 years old. By that time, houses will be too expensive and you can't afford it anyways. But, you know, when it comes to finances, when it comes to borrowing, again, there are some opportunities when borrowing can be prudent. But when we start buying things only because the advertisement says don't pay for 2 years, and believe me, when 2 years is up, you will pay. And usually if you read the fine print on most of those, it's no interest for 2 years, but if you miss your payment, any payment by one day, you've got to pay all that 2 years interest that you never had to pay in the first place. There's always a little catch in most of those. But how much money, when we think about investments and think about owing money, how much money goes to interest? How much money actually goes to interest? It goes for naught. The Bible says that our money is like, you know, it'll take up wings and it will fly away. And last year we put a wood insert in our fireplace, and a little more efficient, blows out some nice heat. And I'm thankful that since we've been in that house, I haven't had to pay for any wood. When we were in our other house and other houses where we've had wood stove, always had to pay for wood. And wood up here is like gold. You know, to buy a quart of wood around here is anywhere between about $300 and $450. And you think about that, every time I took a log and I threw it in that wood stove, and a little while later I'd come back and I'd open the door and it'd be gone. Where it was up in smoke, it was gone out the chimney. And that's a little bit like our money. We just keep, we put it in, and we're paying, and it's all going up in smoke. Where does it go? It takes wings and it flies away. One thing I remember as a kid that I learned, a little principle, is that it was so, I had to work hard for my money. We were working on strawberry fields and working out, doing different jobs in the fields, picking cucumbers. I remember doing that, working in 35-degree weather out there all day. And we would work all day long picking strawberries. And if you worked really hard and you picked fast and you had a good row, you could make $15 a day picking strawberries. And I remember how hard I had to work for that money. And I would save up, and I would save up, and I would save up. And I remember I got to about $100 I had saved up from picking strawberries. And it seemed to take me so long to save up that $100. And I'm going around, you know, going just about life, you know, whatever I was doing, just living. And all of a sudden I realized that I had like $4.25. And I'm shaking my head going, where did my money go? It was gone. I had worked and worked and worked and toiled and saved and saved and saved, and it seemed so hard. And that money was gone so easily. Who knows exactly what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where did it go? It took wings and it flew away. It was gone. And it's amazing how that happens. And then thirdly, I want to look at this value, our value venue. And we find that in chapter 6 and verse 21. The Bible says, where our treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I want you to notice, first of all, the priority here. He doesn't say, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. He says, where your treasure is where your heart will be found. So we have the responsibility to make sure that our treasure is in heaven. We make that decision. We can, this morning, we can consciously make that decision to make those things, spiritual things, heavenly things, to make that our treasure. What is our treasure? It's whatever we put value on. What value do you put on heavenly treasures? Spiritual things, spiritual growth. So many today, and this is, I think, crucial. So many of our labors have seemingly no monetary earthly rewards. And I say labors anymore. We don't see a lot of earthly value. There's not a lot of earthly reward. But there is much reward in heaven. Whether it's witnessing for Christ, whether it's church attendance, whether it's kindness, personal sacrifice. We must realize that although we don't see the reward and the riches today, we will see them one day. There's a heavenly bank account. There's a heavenly treasure chest. And money, earthly possessions, these things, according to the Bible, they're the root of all evil. They're not the evil themselves, but the desires, the love of them is. And they therefore should not be our priority. The Lord should be our priority. You know, when we think about Bill Gates and think about Zuckerman and all these guys that are just raking in the money. More money than they'll ever know what to do. There was a man not really thought of as being rich, but he was the richest man, probably the richest man that ever lived. And he had a different priority. He had a different value system than the rest of the world. And he understood what Jesus was saying here. He understood that there was a lot more importance, there was a lot more value, that treasure, the true riches was not here on earth. And this man, by the name of Moses, he was heir to the throne. He was next in line to become the Pharaoh of Egypt, the richest country in the world. And all the gold and all the riches, the treasures of Egypt were his. And he was the richest man in the world. But that's not where his treasure was. Those things weren't his treasure. And Moses understood that his treasure was in heaven. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He respected, he understood, he valued the earthly treasure. And he understood that all of that wealth and all of the treasures of Egypt and all, listen, the lifestyle that he could have lived, power, would have been the most powerful man in the world, commanding the greatest army in the world. He understood that all of that meant nothing. For a little season, for a little period of time while he was on this earth, he could have lived like that. He could have had everything. But he realized that there was a greater reward. There was a greater treasure. And that treasure was there in Jesus Christ. and he forsook it all. He said, I would rather have that treasure that's going to last forever, that I'll never lose, that is far more valuable than all of the commodities of this world. Moses knew where the real treasure was. There was there was an individual that had a child, and every time they went out to the malls and every time they were somewhere in public, they trained this child, really is what they trained this child to misbehave whenever they went out, because whenever it misbehaved, they would reward it. A little boy or a little child went out, he saw something he wanted, he would say, you know, Mom and Dad, I want that thing. And then, you know, they would say, no, you can't have that. And the child would throw a temper tantrum and start screaming and yelling and you know, acting like he's being killed. And the parents are like, whew. So what they do? They'd go over and they'd buy that toy for the child or whatever it was the child wanted. And if the child wasn't satisfied, they would just keep going until $400, $500, $600 later, the guy would stop crying. And he had his little treasure chest. And everything seemed to be fine. You know, somebody once said, and it's a very good saying. And the saying is, don't hang your heart on things. Don't hang your heart on things, because things will fail you. Things will fade away. Things will be lost. And if we have hung our hearts on things, then so too will our heart be lost. Put our heart where our true treasure is, Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I challenge you this morning. Put your faith and trust in Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning, and help each one of us today to have the proper priorities. Help each one of us today, Lord, for your honor and glory to be everything that we need to be. As we think about these kingdom commodities, as we think about the treasures that we can lay up in heaven. And God, if I was to ask today, each one of us, how much do we have in our heavenly bank account? Have we laid up treasures in heaven? Are we laboring for the things that are forever and forever? Lord, help us to be more concerned about spiritual things, about the Lord Jesus Christ. May our treasure be in Him. And Father, I thank you for each one that's here today, and as we've considered our treasure chest in heaven, as we've considered our heavenly bank account, Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that has maybe not been laying up those treasures, I pray that they would come and make a commitment to the Lord today to do a little more for you, to begin to lay up those treasures for heavenly things. And I pray, God, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that as we have this song of invitation, as we open up this altar, that they would come. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved, how you can know Jesus Christ, and how you can be in heaven forever and forever. So, Father, would you bless as we have this invitation for your glory and for your honor. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. And amen. Let's stand together.